Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
I'm going to begin this morning with Hebrews 11, the first few chapters of Hebrews 11, which is a very famous portion of Scripture. I don't know that we'll end up there. I'm not positive where we'll end up, actually. But Hebrews 11, beginning at the beginning of the chapter, it's very famous. You all recognize it when I read it. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You know, that's you'll never embrace a truth like this truth. You'll never really have a genuine Christian life unless you understand this truth. That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This hasn't changed before they invented the microscope. Or the electron telescope, or whatever they call it, and we saw the vastness of the universe and the smallness of the quantum world that we live in, and all of those wonderful scientific truths that we've found out. But yet, it seems to be that science has either picked a fight with us, or people have used science wrongly to pick a fight with us. Because no matter how big we find out the universe is or how small we find out the quantum world is, it's faith is still the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So no matter what we learn about the natural world, it does not usurp the gospel, because the gospel, even in their day, was the same gospel that we have today, which is wonderful. It says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So all the people before the author of Hebrews wrote this book, the elders obtained a good testimony by faith. It's your faith. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith in Jesus Christ. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with things which are visible. You know what? You know, if you're a thinker, if you'll allow yourself to be a thinker, God made you to be an amazing universe unto yourself. You have this inner life, and either you're thinking about what kind of fashions you're going to don at the next event that we have, or how much money you have or you don't have, or things like that. There's a part of you that God is asking you to consider him deeply, because it's by faith that the elders obtained a good testimony. It's by faith, by their working the work of God in their heart. That's how they obtained a good testimony. And their actions were based on their faith. They had actions based on their faith, not simply actions that were based on that whatever was culturally acceptable at the time. I will tell you something, whatever is culturally acceptable really isn't, God doesn't have much to do with it. Because it's just people pleasing people. Culture is people pleasing people. It's how we can please one another. Culture is people pleasing people. Culture is that. It's what the thing that it is. All right, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things were seen were not made of things which are visible. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, that's such a beautiful scripture. That God spoke and the world came into existence. God spoke and the universe was. You can call it the Big Bang. You can call it the Big Pow. You can call it the Big Pop. You can call it, let there be light. And there was. And the expanses of the universe and the firmament above and below and the worlds and the animals. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. So he being dead, right, Abel being dead, was killed by his brother Cain. Abel still speaks to us. How does he speak to us? By an acceptable sacrifice. Through an acceptable sacrifice that he did by faith. He gave of his herd. He gave a spotless lamb from his herd or sacrificed an animal from his herd by faith. How did he know how to do that? How did he know he had to do that? How did he know that that would be an acceptable sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice would not be an acceptable sacrifice? And how will you ever know unless you think about it? Now, if we come here, and I can teach you some about it, but I think that you have to think deeply about this. Yeah, you think you have to think deeply about somebody who would know, because he connected with God, because he saw the necessity of a blood sacrifice to cover sins. And what he did in sacrificing one of his animals was prophetic for what was going to happen in the future when God sent his only son to shed his blood for our sins. And that's why his righteous heart produced an acceptable sacrifice unto God through the shedding of blood, where his brother, who was a tiller of the field, brought in some crops and gave them to God, said, "That's good, right, God?" And his heart wasn't right, because if your heart is right, you'll do what's right with God. See, now this is the key about faith. Faith is not about your good works. Faith is about the fact that your heart has connected with God, and because your heart is connected with God, you do the right thing. Even before you have the Bible. There ain't no Bible yet, you know? I mean, these are Adam and Eve's children. You say, "Pop, what do I have to do to give a sacrifice? Where's, do we have a Bible yet? Is there a Bible out yet, Pop?" There's no Bible out yet. Adam is still running around trying to cover his nakedness with fig leaves or whatever. Okay? So Abel still lives. He's alive to us. He's alive as an example to us of somebody who understood that it was only by the shedding of blood of one who was yet to come that we could be saved, that we could be righteous in God. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death. You have to read that about Enoch. Enoch is in one scripture of the Bible. It says, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him, because he pleased him. Enoch pleased God. Alan Babcock used to teach us that Enoch walked with God, which is the Bible says, and every day they'd walk farther and farther and farther, and one day God said, "We're closer to my house than they are to yours. You might just as well come home with me." Enoch never died. Enoch went to be, the Father took him home. because he walked with God. The father took him home because he walked with God. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. God says, I love you so much, I can't stand another minute of you not living up in my house with me. Come on home. Enoch was late for dinner that day. For he was taken, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. See, if you love God, you will want to please God. You want to please God, so good works, there are, I'm not saying we don't do good works. I'm just saying that we want to try anything in our power to please God. We want to do everything in our power to please God. If you're in love with God, you want to do everything in your power to please him. There's nothing that you won't do to please him. And when you recognize that he saved you, he's given his son to die for your sin, you are in a continuous state of joy and ecstasy because the gospel is for you. And everything that the Bible says that is good and of God is for you. You have access to all of God's goodness. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Wouldn't you like to say that I had a testimony that I pleased God? I had a testimony. One day we're going to be together in eternity. I want you to know. One day we'll be together, maybe in a room like this. I don't know. Maybe in a bigger room, maybe in a great big, I don't know how it's going to be. But we'll all be together. And there will be some people where God will walk up and down the aisle and say, you really pleased me. Your life pleased me. Your life pleased me because you had faith in me. Your life pleased me, not because of what you did, because of the way you believed in me, the way you loved me. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. 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 For he who comes to God must believe that God is, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what's your job for the rest of your life? You think that you could ever catch a tiger by the tail? You think you could ever catch the fullness of who God is ever for one stroke, 1 second of your life, that you can actually fathom the God who created this universe? I don't think we can even fathom it. I don't even think we have the power to fathom the God who created the universe. But he came and he showed his character exactly through Jesus Christ. So although you don't see the expanse of a God who fills up every inch of the entire universe and coordinates every quark of the quantum world, holding it together by the power of his word, you can never fathom all of that. You can have faith and you can diligently seek him. God, I want to know you more. Jesus, I want to know you better. Jesus, I want to know you better. With some of us, we want Jesus to be the butt-kicking WWF champion of the world. The Jesus who came into town on a donkey. Lowly, riding upon a donkey. Loving lepers. Healing lepers. Healing broken women with the issue of blood. They were not considered clean. She wasn't even supposed to touch anybody. She was considered unclean. Okay? So the gospel encourages and demands faith. The Old Testament shows Christ coming with grace. And when if you will give yourself to the reading of the Word of God and you will look for Jesus throughout the Bible, you see Jesus everywhere in the Bible, Old and New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, God is giving us every sign that you almost have to be just dead blind not to see Jesus in the Old Testament. You have to almost intentionally not see that God is pointing toward a Savior who will come to save mankind as you read through the Old Testament. That's why Abel still lives, even though he is not alive. In the technical sense of the word, Abel still lives because he pleased God. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe the imperative. Is that imperative? Must. You must do something. That's imperative. You must believe that he is. But that's not enough. You must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must believe that he is. That's not good enough. Sit in a church every day, all day, for the rest of your life. But it's not enough. You must believe that he is, and you must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How is he a rewarder? In which way will he reward me? That's up to the rewarder, isn't it? First of all, by eternal life. That's cool that we get God die and go to heaven. But you know what? Jesus didn't say, pray this way. Thy kingdom come upon my death when I go to heaven. That's not the Lord's Prayer. Did you recognize that? It was a misquote, intentional misquote. He didn't say, let thy kingdom come when I die and go to heaven. And meanwhile, I'll suffer this world and the hardship that it has for me. He said, no, he didn't say that at all. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is already done in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So what is the one who's diligently seeking him is the one who is working that his kingdom, that you would be setting things in order here on earth in God's mold, in God's making, that your vocation is setting things in order on earth as it already is in heaven. Now that you're filled with his Holy Spirit, you have God within you, now you're beginning to understand how his kingdom works. Why Jesus said to turn the other cheek, why he said to love your enemy, why he said to do good to those who despitefully use you, because that's what God does. So you're to set things in order here on earth as it is already in heaven. You get what I'm saying? You have a job, you have a vocation, you have a new occupation. You have a new call on your life, and that's to set in order things on earth as they are in heaven. And many times it has to begin within us, within our own ugly old hearts. Right? Listen, Jesus died for sinners. We're not supposed to stay sinners. There should be movement in your life toward virtue. Why? Because I love it now. I love virtue now. I didn't used to love virtue. I used to love not virtue. The unvirtuous. Right? But when I found Jesus, I fell in love with virtue. I like it better. It's a better version of me. Okay, the gospel encourages and demands faith. The Old Testament shows Christ coming with grace, that no one may receive or accept grace except he who believes that Jesus to be Lord and Savior and has his mind in Christ. You hide your mind in Christ. You study Jesus Christ. You ask yourself why he did what he did. You ask yourself. And when ten lepers are cleansed, when Jesus cleanses 10 lepers and only one comes back, you have to suspect that you're one of the 9 who didn't. How is it we all think that we're the hero of the story, the one who did? Are you with me? We're the hero of the story. We're the one who came back, right? Most of the time, no. How many good things has God ever done for you that you've never given him credit for? Or thanksgiving, or praise, or worship? Are you with me? The mercy and the tenderness and the kindness of Christ are everywhere shown to be his most outstanding attributes. That is not the normal outstanding attribute of a king. Normally, a king is fierce, he is strong, he is unbending. We want our kings to be winners always. We want our kings to be winners. Listen, I know from whence I speak. I'm a Jets fan and a Mets fan. I'm used to having champions that don't win much. So it's not a big stretch to come in and see that my king rides in on a donkey, not a war horse. He's not clad in armor, riding on a war horse. He's got peasant people thrusting their garments before him and tree branches before him, saying Hosanna to the king. He's the king of the humble. He's the king of the kind. He's the king of the tenderhearted. He's the king of love. Amen? Those of us who receive and believe this of him are saved. If you believe this of Jesus and you receive him, you're saved. Now that you're saved, you can know if you're saved or not. And you know it because you just want to do everything to please him all the time. He saved me from an eternity separated from God, being thrust into a lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you think I'm not going to spend the rest of my life trying to please him and make him grateful for what he did for me? Do you think I'm not going to spend the rest of my life running after him, seeing if there's any possible way I can serve him? Because he delivered me. Because Adam separated his family from the God who created the heavens and the earth. Adam and his wife separated their entire family, their entire lineage, from the God who created the heavens and the earth. And he took upon himself an alignment with the God of this world, who was the rebellious angel in God's throne room, and was cast down to earth, where a place was prepared for him to ultimately be thrown for eternity in a place that the Bible, whether metaphorically or not, says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not. You know, all of these very, very ugly pictures that describe a place of great torment. I've been saved from that by Jesus. Not by me. He didn't pick me. Listen, folks, he didn't pick me because I'm good. He didn't pick me because I'm good. Sinners get saved, not good folks. Sinners get saved, not good folks. Sinners get saved, not good folks. Because you know why? There are none. Not that you haven't ever done anything appropriate or right or praiseworthy in your life. But when you compare yourself to God, there are none. Because he is perfectly pure, perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, perfect in every single way. We don't have a chance to stand on his footing of righteousness. But he gave it to us freely. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, those of us who receive and believe this of him are saved. Jesus enters Jerusalem, not on a war horse displaying great pomp and power, but sitting on a donkey, an animal of peace. A donkey is an animal of peace, and he's really only good for bearing burdens. And he helps to bear loads. And that's the picture of Jesus in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the helper, the paraclete, the one who comes to help us bear our load. He comes to walk alongside of us. As a matter of fact, one of the Gospels says there was two donkeys. Why are there two donkeys? It's the Old and the New Testament. It's two donkeys. It's two ways that God is revealing himself. He's showing us that he comes not to frighten. And this is the thing about Jesus. You know, we talk about the fear of God, but he's showing us he's not coming to frighten us or to drive or to crush us on his war horse, but to help carry the burden for him. It was the donkey. It was customary of that time to ride a donkey, but not warriors. They rode war horses. Donkeys bore burdens. Donkeys bore burdens. And that's what the Holy Spirit has come to help you do, to bear your burdens. Never give up on the Holy Spirit. Always pursue the Holy Spirit. Pursue the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Pursue everything that God has for you, because he will help you bear your burdens.
Hello, this is Jacob Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Today's message is titled, By Faith. Pastor Bob shared today from Hebrews chapter 11. The first verses read, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. It is by faith that the elders obtained a good testimony, and it goes on to list heroes in the faith and what they believed God for and the testimony that they have due to their faith. But we must understand it was their faith alone in the Lord that separated them. Their faith fueled their actions. Are you letting your faith fuel your actions, or are you stuck in a cycle of letting your fear control your mind? Step out in faith today and trust God for all that he has for you, because it is by our faith that we can grow to be more like Jesus. If you have never taken the first step of faith and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today, and I ask that you would cleanse me from all my sin. I believe you died as a sacrifice for my sins, and I received the free gift of salvation today, purchased by Jesus' death. I walk forward today as a new creation in you, and Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill me with your power. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to start a prayer life, start reading your Bible, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. If this podcast has ministered to you today, would you consider giving to the work of spreading God's Word? You can give online and learn more about OFR, CMCC, and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jacob Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.